Well, we have made it to Tuesday, and we are now under 2 weeks to the Super Bowl. A lot of excitement, a lot of things happening. You know, we bring you Win Tucson Monday through Friday, and we're promising to turn down the rhetoric and turn up the results. And there's a lot of moving parts when people come to our city, our state. We now know it's Kansas City and the Eagles, so there'll be people here from Pennsylvania. There'll be people here from Kansas City and a lot of other, actually millions of people from all over the world. This is not only a football game, it's a media event. Activities start this weekend and go all the way through to the Super Bowl. But before that happened, there's been some posturing and some the NFL doesn't take control of the whole state, although it feels that way. And there's been some litigation. And so I've invited John Thorpe, who is a staff attorney at the Goldwater Institute, and the Institute's Scarf Norton Center for Constitutional Litigation. You have to go to law school to be able to say that, where he litigates in the areas of education, free speech, economic liberty, government transparency, regulatory reform, and property rights. And John, thank you for coming on this morning to discuss why you're suing the city of Phoenix and what your client has hoping to obtain out of this lawsuit. And welcome.
Thank you so much for having me on.
That's great. So I think free speech is involved, regulatory reform, property rights, government transparency. I think and probably we're going to education, although this is not an education issue. Yeah. People will be educated out of your lawsuit. So would you let my listener...
Yeah, this one just about checks all the boxes.
this is good. 80% of what you do. The Super Bowl is being played in Glendale, yet the city of Phoenix designated a nearly 2-square-mile area, virtually all of downtown Phoenix, as a special promotional and civic event area. So what is that?
Well, the upshot for residents and businesses in this area, which is basically the whole downtown area, has been that any temporary signage they want to put up, whether it's a big banner or inflatable or something outside their business, to a political sign in your yard if you're a resident, to even a menu taped in a restaurant window, any kind of signage, the city was requiring to get approval from the NFL or the Super Bowl host committee. So you'd have to go and run your sign by them for permission and give them the sign off on whatever message you wanted to communicate.
And what was their legal authority as the NFL and the Arizona Super Bowl host committee to do that?
We're still not sure about that.
I didn't remember voting the NFL and the Arizona Super Bowl host committee into the signage committee or into city council or into planning and zoning.
So we pointed out three legal issues with this. There are others, I think, but the big ones are free speech. Obviously, it's banning people from speaking via signage unless they get pre-approval. Mm-hmm. Due process, right? Because you have a right to due process of law. But there was no process here. It was just the NFL sort of shooting from the hip, doing whatever they felt like. And then delegation of governmental power, right? That's just the job of the city of Phoenix to regulate signage. And instead, they were given a blank check to two private entities to do so. And frankly, the city has never responded to any of those arguments. Not once since we contacted them have they tried to defend this policy on the merits. This is constitutional. They said other cities do it when they're hosting big mega events like this. But as we all know, just because other people are doing it doesn't make it right.
This reminds me of when my mom used to say, if someone jumped off a cliff, would you follow them off the cliff? Right? Isn't that...
Exactly.
Okay. So you have had no communication with the city of Phoenix regarding this, or who did you sue?
Oh, they've been in touch. Okay. We've had a lot of back and forth with the city. They've never tried to actually defend the constitutionality of what they were doing. But they've been talking with us, saying that they want to settle this lawsuit and trying to resolve the issue without really conceding much so far, which is why ultimately we had to actually file a lawsuit. because the clock was ticking to the Super Bowl, and our client needed some relief before then.
And your client, Bramley Pollen, Mr. Bramley wanted to lease his property for temporary signage placements, but businesses wouldn't even talk to him because they're afraid to do anything because they're afraid of being sued, even though they're on private property, from the NFL or from the city of Phoenix. Is that correct? Is that what is at the heart of this?
Yeah, so that's how he found out about this, and in turn we found out about it, is Bramley has property in an amazing location. It's right across the street from Hans Park.
Mm-hmm.
It's the park downtown where Phoenix is hosting one of the two big Super Bowl or NFL experience parties. Now, I think they're expecting about 1.5 million people over the whole course of the event to pass by or to attend. And once he heard about this, he wanted to put up some temporary signage, take advantage of this visibility. So he reached out to some companies, said, "Hey, I'm in this great location. You want to talk about doing some advertising on my property?" And the response was pretty much, "Absolutely not. We see you're in the NFL clean zone. We'll get a cease and desist letter from them if we do anything. So no deal."
Wow. And so
that's one of the problems. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to say, that's one of the biggest problems with speech restrictions is not just the actual, you know, there's a police officer on the street, you know, telling you got to take down the sign, but it's the chilling effect, right? Once the city announces a policy like this, it scares people. People see that and they say, "Oh, we see there's a law restricting speech. We're not even going to think about it. We're not even going to try to exercise our rights." And who knows how many other people have been affected by this and just never spoke up, kind of like these businesses Bramley's been contacted.
Yes, and I would think if you're going to have foot traffic of 1.5 million people down there, you really can't pay for that, right? I mean, like, that whatever you advertised or whatever you promoted I'm just thinking 1.5, if I wanted to reach $1.5 million or 1.5 million people, the financial benefit of that is huge. But to be suppressed. So what do you ask for, financial damages as a result?
Well, right now we're just asking for injunctive relief from the court. So we filed a lawsuit and we asked the court to order the city to review Bramley's signage applications without any input from the NFL and without requiring their approval.
Okay.
Certainly, I mean, this is worth a lot of money to Bramley, but the bottom line right now is his constitutional rights. He'd like to preserve that right ahead of time, if possible, before having to actually, you know, sue after the fact.
So, John, we have to take a short commercial break, and we come back. I know that you're going to go to court, I think, tomorrow, and I want to talk about that and what's going on. So we're talking to John Thorpe. He's a staff attorney at the Goldwater Institute. He's fighting for freedom of speech and government transparency. What a concept. This is Kathleen Wynn on Wynn Tucson. You're listening to 1030 AM The Voice. We'll be back after these sponsors' messages. Welcome back to Wynn Tucson. I'm your host, Kathleen Wynn, and my special guest this morning is John Thorpe, staff attorney at the Goldwater Institute. And John is representing a client who, for lack of a better word, is being his freedom of speech is being suppressed, but also his property rights. So, John, I have a question. I spent a lot of time in real estate in my career. So after you sued, the city council amended the mandate to remove the NFL and the Super Bowl committee from signage approval and the decision-making process. So that was set aside. However, Bramley, your client, is still unable to get the desired signage approval because the city is trying to now use a temporary order by claiming that only sponsors have a relationship with the NFL, and he can't put up advertising in this, what they're calling, a clean zone, correct?
That's right. So the city it's got a different theory of what it's doing now, but the bottom line is the same for Bramley.
Right.
Like you said, but after we filed the lawsuit, the city said, "Oh, we'll change the resolution. We'll get this before the city council. We'll fix it." The city council amended the resolution. They just took out the one sentence that was really egregious about host committee approval. But the situation on the ground is no different. Bramley, right after that, he was able to put together an application. He went in to submit it, and the city refused to accept his application. They said that the whole downtown area is subject to a special use permit that the host committee has. And Bramley is free to sort of piggyback on the host committee's use permit. But if he wants to do that, he has to get them to sign off. Now, that would be one thing if he had the alternative of, you know, applying for his own permit.
Right.
But the city has made that impossible. At no point did he have any option in all of this other than using the NFL's or the host committee's
so
permit
with
their approval.
Separate than this special event and everything that's going on, what kind of zoning is his business or his building or his land?
Well, it's a commercial building. There's a special zoning area downtown. You can really get into the weeds on the zoning issues here, you know, probably beyond my competence. But the bottom line is that there are certain kinds of signage that businesses downtown normally can't put up. That includes, you know, balloons, inflatables, banners. Normally, you just can't use those.
Correct.
But if you get a special use permit, then that can allow you to put these up. So the host committee applied for a special use permit for the entire downtown area. Now, you might know more about this than me, but that to me is kind of unprecedented. The idea that you can apply for a special use permit for other people's property.
Well, that's my point. You hit it right on the head. That's my point. This man went before the Super Bowl, before the last Super Bowl. I don't know how long he's owned his property, but he has private property rights, and those are those are statutory, not in the Constitution, but also in Arizona's Constitution and also in city ordinances. So he has certain freedoms that he has by owning that property. And it seems to me that because of this event, now sometimes they'll block roads and streets, parades, there's things that happen in a downtown area. However, restricting signage or communication that way from a building or a space, especially when everyone else around you is being allowed to do it, seems kind of targeted. It seems it seems kind of unfair. So to me,
absolutely.
You know, I understand your client's position. Is there a way to assess damages at this point if the city doesn't reverse themselves in tomorrow's hearing, or the court doesn't reverse what the city's trying to do to your client in tomorrow's hearing?
Yeah, it's possible. He's definitely that's definitely one option. At this point, we're laser focused on getting him released before the Super Bowl. You know, we have just about 2 weeks till the game. Well, less than 2 weeks now.
Yeah, I was gonna say. You got 12 days. 12 days, just in case the 12 days of Super Bowl, and I don't know if he's gonna get a partridge in a pear tree. So, but keep going.
Yeah, I guess we're officially in the national holiday now. 12 days of Super Bowl.
Exactly.
But it seems like the city's strategy this whole time, I think, has been to run the clock. As far as we can tell, they really haven't changed anything. As far as Bramley is concerned. And once the Super Bowl comes, it's too late. His rights will be irretrievably lost. And like you said, he might be able to pursue damages. But at this point, we're focused on just getting relief before the fact.
If tomorrow the judge rules that he, in fact, can do what he's intended to do all along, and that he be treated just like anybody other business in downtown Phoenix, is there enough time for him to be able to find somebody who could promote, could advertise, could use his space in the manner in which he had hoped to do from the beginning?
He's still hopeful. He's been in talks with the marketing company, and it's a really short fuse, but we think there's still time to print off signs, to get them approved, get them shipped out here and mounted. Tourists are already showing up. I work downtown, and we're already seeing the Super Bowl crowds in the area. So every day that goes by, that's thousands of eyes that aren't seeing his signage. So it's already, he's already losing the value of that by the day.
And what does
he's still hopeful.
Does he have a business that is an interactive business, or is it an office building? What does his business do, if you don't mind saying?
It's more of an office building. He's a He's a developer, so he has various properties around town. He has a couple in the downtown area, so he's not advertising something on premises. If he were doing that, it would be the signage situation might be a little bit easier. But no, it's just a big building, prime location. He wants to just mount some signage on the side of that for the millions of eyes that are going to be there.
So are you in city court or superior court tomorrow?
Superior court. So Arizona State Court.
Okay. And what law are you under what umbrella did you file this suit? So what law are you challenging that they're violating?
We initially challenged, it was resolution 22073. I think that was the one with the really egregious pre-approval requirement in there. They've amended that, so I think it's resolution 220995. I might have the number wrong, but
okay.
We're not challenging it on its face anymore because the actual text of the law isn't so much the problem. The problem is how the city's using it, trying to use it as a sort of technicality to do the same thing that they were doing before. So we're saying that law, as it's applied to Bramley, is unconstitutional under, like I said, the free speech, due process, and the separation of powers.
And here's the thing. It looks like it's just about Mr. Bramley and the Super Bowl and this time. However, if you get a ruling that goes against you, this could be applied down the road. Then there's precedent set, right? So I think it's really important that you prevail tomorrow, not for your client, because that's who you're representing, but for the broader application of the law, so that, you know, other people, there's going to be other special events, right? Phoenix is a major city. And so if a city can come in and impose this kind of restriction and freedom of speech restriction, I think that would be dangerous to and against the laws in the Constitution as they are currently written.
Yeah, that's a great point. The stakes are high here, not just for Bramley, but to set a precedent, whether cities can trample on the rights of their citizens or sell out their citizens' rights to host these mega events. This happens all over the country. Like you said, Phoenix is a prime place for hosting these huge events. We're hosting the Final Four next year.
Yes, we are.
We've got the Phoenix Open every year. And this happens routinely. Every time one of these big events happens, cities will pass these resolutions. They'll vary a little bit in their, you know, the exact wording, but the bottom line for citizens is they're censored because their rights matter less to the city than these big, you know, big corporations that are bringing in these big events.
So it's
and
not.
We're in the fight. We want to put a stop to that around the country now.
Yeah. So Goldwater isn't just representing this in Phoenix. It just happens to be where this is happening. But will this case impact other cities? Like, it's in Las Vegas next year. I don't know.
Absolutely. Yeah,
I don't know how you get a clean zone. I don't know how you get a clean zone in Vegas though next year. Good luck on that, right?
Yeah.
They'll have to start just deconstructing Vegas starting today. But this may not be an issue up there. But I'm sorry, I interrupted you. So if you prevail tomorrow, how would this affect future Super Bowl cities?
Well, it would just be one court's order, so it wouldn't directly have any impact on any other states or any other city's powers. But it's certainly a precedent, right? It's something we can point to and say, hey, this court got it right, right? This court saw, you know, the same thing that we're arguing. And I think it definitely sets a, you know, not a binding precedent, but it sends a message around the country if we prevail here.
Well, I wish you well tomorrow, and keep us apprised of what happened. Have someone send me so I can update my listeners. And John, how long have you been at the Goldwater Institute in working on these issues?
You know, I'm actually pretty new here. I just came over to the Goldwater Institute about 4 months ago from private practice. I'm absolutely loving it. It's a dream job, getting to jump in on cases like this, and they've been great to me, letting me jump in on this. It's wonderful.
And I just, it's a separate passion of mine, so I just have to ask, areas of education, so when you litigate education, are you fighting for parents' rights typically, for overreach by school boards and education?
Yeah, all of the above. Goldwater's been, they've been a leader in school choice for years.
Yes.
Advocating for charter schools and the rights of parents to choose where they think their children will be best educated. Lately, we've been getting more and more into the parental rights sphere and transparency with school administrators doing crazy things, not even telling parents about it. We're fighting for parents wherever we can.
It kind of sounds like city council's making arbitrary and random loans, but I could just be confused. John Thorpe, thank you for coming on. We will have you back, and this has been a very educational.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Kathleen Nguyen, Nguyen Tucson, on 10:30 a.m. The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Nguyen Tucson, and we are going to shift gears a little bit. We're still going to be talking about the Super Bowl, but we're going to be talking about advertisements. And I know I watch the Super Bowl for the game, but some people watch the Super Bowl for the commercials. And this year, as you just heard, it's the first time we're running that ad about how Jesus is going to be featured in the Super Bowl. And it is a huge movement across the country. They've been running ads, and there'll be two ads in the big game. And I have spokesperson Brad Hill. He is the spokesperson for He Gets Us and the chief solutions officer for Glue. Brad, welcome to Nguyen Tucson this morning.
Hey, Kathleen. Good morning. Thanks for making space for this conversation.
This is so great. So I believe that this is kind of exciting. I absolutely, this is the second time Phoenix has hosted the Super Bowl on, I think, 2015. So in the last 7-8 years, and I've never seen really an outreach of this magnitude. So could you let my listeners know what He Gets Us is about and why this is unique and why it's kind of very special all at the same time?
Well, yeah, the Super Bowl obviously is the biggest media moment of all. So we're excited and grateful to be able to be part of it. But the He Gets Us campaign, as you mentioned in your message just a moment ago, has actually been running. Probably a lot of your listeners have seen one of these ads, maybe realizing it, maybe not. But they've been running now for about 10 months nationwide, all across Arizona and beyond. And really the idea, it's a simple thought, very profound, but simple. We seek to help people reintroduce themselves to this person, Jesus. And specifically, we focus on what we would call his radical, confounding love. And we do that by really looking at how Jesus lived, what he taught. And we try to connect that very directly to the things people go through today. So the experiences we all have, whether it's, you know, relationships or feeling loneliness or wondering if I fit in society or how do I disagree with people and not disown. So we've really been exploring lots of these different themes all through the lens of how did Jesus model this? And if we are feeling as if we can get people to take a step on their own pace to re-explore Jesus, maybe learn more about him, then not only are they going to grow closer to him, but the idea is that we can all learn what it means to treat each other well, to love each other in the same way that Jesus did. And our feeling is kind of like in 1 Peter 3:15, we can model these things in a way that's winsome to those around us. And so that's really the idea, is helping people take a step toward Jesus.
I think that right now in our culture, in our country, we've had divisiveness for a very long time. And I know families that are broken. I know relationships get broken. And I think there's a real need for healing. And something needs to change. You know, we're kind of at a breaking point, I would say, just on a lot of different things that I see across my community, across my state, across the country. And how do you get people to start this conversation? Are the ads that you're going to run, is there going to be a way for, if I'm a Jesus follower, which I am, to introduce someone in my family who may not be? Is there going to be coaching or a way that He Gets Us will help us engage in that conversation?
Yeah, that's a great question. And in fact, reminds me, we just a couple days ago heard a story of a mother with a 19-year-old daughter, and her story was essentially she's been trying to kind of break the ice, if you will, or get through to her daughter for a long time, on subjects of faith and really sharing Jesus. And her daughter just was not open to the conversation. And yet, sitting together watching, I don't even know if it was a football game, it might have been some other show, but one of the He Gets Us ads came on, and her daughter simply said, "Wow, that's pretty cool." And the cleanness and kind of the simplicity of this message allowed the mother to really venture into a conversation that she'd been trying to have. So, you know, that's but one of just countless stories we're hearing. And you referenced it. Really, this whole project at the end of the day is about conversations. And the ads really kind of open up some topics that we need to be talking about or that we aren't always talking about. And so we do have, to answer your question, a growing library of resources. It's not just running ads, but we're trying to put things in the hands of Jesus followers so that when you get asked, whether it's by a daughter, a son, a family member, or in my case, I was asked by an Uber driver one time what I thought of these messages. I wanted to be ready. And so, yeah, we've got everything from what we call conversation guides to simple prompts and even ways to pray. Because the real work of this project, I think, is going to happen down at that one-on-one individual conversation level. The ads are just kind of softening the ground for us.
And what made the He Gets Us and everyone that's working on this project pick the Super Bowl? When you were figuring this out, like is that where we can reach the most masses, or do we need to help football fans across the country? Like, what? And I'm being silly, but what? Why the Super Bowl, and why pick that venue to start this conversation at the beginning of this year?
Well, you know, we live in a time right now where we're so saturated with media, and so many of us spend exponentially more time on our screens than we do face-to-face with people. Mm. You know, somebody said recently, even our younger generation is being really discipled by screens, less so by us. And so we recognize that media is powerful, and media is used very, very well for all kinds of messages and things that are marketed to us, or maybe people trying to help us think, feel, or do certain things. So we recognize the power of the tool. And we also, through this last year, have been putting the messages of He Gets Us out in a variety of places. We have been on TV. We have been on YouTube, lots of digital channels. Some of your listeners may have spotted a billboard here or there. So we've been using a lot of different avenues. But what we know, Kathleen, is that one thing with sports, it's one of the last few bastions of society where we're all watching the same thing at the same time. Mm. And then, so that just speaks to sort of a, you know, currency or a recency effect. But then further, it's the big game, right? So there's no stage larger than that. And, you know, our feeling is, as we continue to just see these messages extend across the landscape in America, this is the place. If you want to get a message seen and heard, you need to be able to participate. So we're anxiously looking forward to, we predict, you know, Fox estimates an audience size north of 110 million people, all seeing, as you said, not one but two messages really encouraging us to explore this radical love of Jesus. We think that's a pretty good thing.
When you go back to several weeks ago when Damar Hamlin, the Buffalo Bills player, was injured on the field, and for all practical purposes, maybe even have died and been brought back, and you saw both teams kneel down on the field, I think that whether you can't take responsibility for that, but that moment captured so many people's attention. So, and whether it was a miracle or not that he's alive or anything, I think that we've forgotten how important God is in our everyday life. Because in that moment, I think everyone was praying to a higher being, to God, to Jesus, to save this young man. And as we know, he is recovering. But that, if I was thinking, how does football and this message intersect, It seems to me that was like a movie trailer. You kind of already got that, and this will play out next weekend. Has that impacted your message at all? Has anyone else made that connection?
Well, we were watching right alongside you and so many others. And yeah, as you said, as a Jesus follower, just number one, all of us were going through a roller coaster of emotions watching what we did. And it's just interesting. All of us, you know, when sort of taken to the end of our rope or a place where we don't have the answers, we turn to prayer. He Gets Us has done quite a lot of research over the last years. And we've seen prayer figure in really prominently. In fact, it's one of the things people commonly do once they see the ads and come to the website is they request prayer from our campaign, which we're happy to provide. And we have a number of ministries helping us there. But what we also learned is people may pray instinctively, but they also don't necessarily always know what prayer is. You just referenced it, like, who am I even praying to?
Correct.
And does prayer work? And so, you know, we see it as just an incredible cultural moment watching Damar Hamlin, and also, you know, praise God, he's recovering. He's recording videos now and thanking his fans and supporters. But I think there's a, you know, even a broader, subtle thing that happened there, which is we came together.
Yes.
And we all were interested in his well-being and his healing, whether we believe in God, whether we believe in a higher power, any of those things. And so that idea of unity and, you know, the fact that, you know, you and I, both as Jesus followers, would agree, like, the power of prayer and the ultimate hope we have in God is itself a unifying thing. But even to a culture that doesn't maybe always understand the spiritual aspect of that, we still saw a powerful moment of unity. And so actually what we're going to be exploring in the Super Bowl ads is in fact how relationships and even conflict can be viewed through the lens of Jesus and his love. And I can't fully give away. We want to save some surprises for the Super Bowl, but we're excited. And we, by the way, this was planned long before Damar Hamlin. But
yes, you didn't know that was coming. Yes, yes.
That's right. just it seems like, you know, it's almost captivating, like God knows what he's doing.
I think God has a plan.
Setting a stage.
Hey, Brad, we have to take a short break, and we come back. I want to talk about some other events that you're involved with leading into the Super Bowl and Super Bowl breakfast and some other things where you'll be featuring and sponsoring some other events. So we're talking to Brad Hill. He is here with He Gets Us and works with Glue, the chief solutions officer and the spokesperson for He Gets Us. And we'll be back right after these messages. This is Kathleen Wynn, Wynn Tucson on 10:30 a.m. The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Welcome back to Wynn Tucson. And we are talking He Gets Us. We're talking about our respect and the relevance of Jesus in our lives today and how to get involved in becoming part of the He Gets Us movement. And I'm speaking with Brad Hill. Brad, so if people want to get involved, they can text Super Bowl to 70193, and that'll keep them current from now until the big game. And as the ads come out, they'll be able to see them on their phone. Is that part of what we're leading up to for the 12th?
That's right. Yeah, we're seeing thousands and thousands of, you know, Jesus followers, people who are fans of what the campaign's doing, join in there. Leading up to the game, we've got a lot of folks praying. We have a lot of folks even obtaining some special assets and resources. And then during the game, you know, we want the same. I kind of intimated a little bit or kind of teased what the ads are going to convey.
Yeah. So tell us.
And we'd love... Yeah, it's about this idea of how do we navigate relationships where we don't always agree. I know everyone listening can think of that person in their life. Maybe it's a family member.
Yes.
Maybe it's somebody on social media. And you know, as a culture, we're not doing so great there. We're not displaying love. And sadly, Kathleen, a lot of times even when we look at Jesus followers and Christians, we need to be reminded of ways we can better reflect that same treatment, even when we do disagree. And Jesus gives us some great examples there. So what's going to happen on the Super Bowl is these commercials will run and they will explore this topic. And if you're at a tailgate, if you're in someone's family room or maybe at a party, others around you, especially if they know you to be a Christian or know you to be a Jesus follower, they very well may likely turn to you and say, what do you think about that? Or what, you know, do you believe this stuff? And so we want all of us, you know, who follow Jesus and are trying our own way every day to model his example, we want us to be ready. And so the resources we're providing through that text really are designed to give us a little bit of a head start so we can turn back to the person on the couch or the tailgate and engage in hopefully a really productive conversation. It doesn't mean that we're going to, see lots of people accept Christ right on the spot, or, you know, start following him themselves. But if we can get folks to take even a step and say, you know, Jesus was a pretty good guy. And I think the way he taught is good. We've heard a number of people say, you know, if the world just lived the way Jesus lived, we'd all be better off. And so if we can just do that simple work and then lead to the next conversation and the next, we feel like these ads are doing their job. But again, it relies on all of us being ready for that. And we'll have more even after the Super Bowl. So if folks do take us up on that and join this free text community, we'll occasionally, we promise we won't spam anybody, we're not selling anything, but we want to equip everyone to just have these fruitful conversations that draw people in.
I think it's really important at this time, because it's so easy. We've gotten in a habit of bashing, of attacking, of kind of just, for lack of a better word, and excuse me for saying this, vomiting on other people when we don't agree with them. And there were many people in the Bible that Jesus didn't agree with and that didn't like him, clearly. But that he always showed grace and kindness and mercy. And I think a little of that could go a long way in our current society. The day before the Super Bowl, there's a Super Bowl breakfast. He gets us as a sponsor of that. That is a Christian event. It honors the top Christian athlete voted on by the NFL players themselves. And you guys sponsored that event along with the Bible Museum.
That's right.
So that is a great event. This will be my eighth one I've attended. I've worked with Athletes in Action. It's really exciting because football players, quite frankly, have a bad rap, right? They're not, you know, they get into trouble. But this seems to shine a spotlight on the best of the best. These are people that have used their platform to give back. And so as we go through the Super Bowl events, can talk about that event, but are there other events that He Gets Us is going to be doing in the week leading up to the Super Bowl?
Yes, we're participating, as you said, in the Super Bowl breakfast. One of the things we're so encouraged by is you referenced some of the athletes and even NFL veterans. There's a lot of folks might be surprised how many folks within that sphere are Jesus followers.
Correct.
And one of the things that we often hear from them is they wrestle sometimes with how to reflect their faith in an environment that's not always conducive to that, or you know, that may feel at times a little bit antithetical to whatever other pursuits they have. And we've received just a lot of appreciation and a lot of openness from these individuals who have significant platforms, because they say the way that He Gets Us is approaching this makes it easy for us to support. And we love that it's, you know, doesn't come across as preachy or self-serving, but it really just invites people to take an honest take on Jesus. And it's something that we're already seeing a number of, not just athletes, but people in other public spheres and media, entertainment, et cetera, are coming towards it. So even during Super Bowl week, we'll be participating and serving into a number of events, as you can imagine. Lots and lots goes on in the host city.
I know.
You'll see the messages quite a bit. And so we're hoping for, number one, just, you know, a lot of great exposure. As I said, lots of great conversations. And we're also encouraged that even some on the teams, we now know which teams are playing in the game.
Yes, we do.
But all through the NFL season, a number of NFL teams have been talking about ways they can partner with what we're doing. So we've had great relationships with a starting handful of teams, and we're excited coming out of the Super Bowl that could lead to more next season. So this thing hopefully will grow. And he gets us right now is charting a course to be around at least 2 to 3 years, if not longer. So this year, it's a big kind of opening debut, if you will, on the Super Bowl stage. But our hope is that this really sets a table for us to have increased visibility and draw more people toward Jesus through the next year and beyond.
And is this any one particular church, or can all different denominations of faith participate? How are you engaging with churches? Are you engaging with churches?
Yes. At the beginning, you used a great word, Kathleen, movement. And that really does, I think, describe what's happening here with He Gets Us. It is not backed or organized by any one church or even not even one denomination. We really do have a diverse set of ministries, churches, city networks, et cetera. Today, I think we're sitting somewhere around 18,000, 19,000 churches nationwide who are already participating in various ways. Some churches are praying, as we said earlier. Some are preaching or just leading conversations. By the way, I know a topic near and dear to your heart, also this next few weeks in Arizona, there's a lot of work happening around trafficking.
Correct.
And we've had a number of churches who may already be doing an outreach or doing awareness events or serving in some way this huge problem we see in culture. They see He Gets Us, and they see it as a way to bridge the great work they're already doing with the message of Jesus. And so, for example, we have churches doing large trafficking walks who may wear a shirt from He Gets Us, and we support that. We've had others serving into communities around the country in various ways who are doing much the same. So we're hoping that He Gets Us also just provides a really nice layer of support. Some have called it sort of an air campaign that really just amplifies the great work that so many churches and ministries are already doing in Jesus' name.
So if people want to get involved, they need to text Super Bowl to 70193, Super Bowl to 70193, and that'll connect you to the He Gets Us, all their information, their ads, and as the ads come out, you'll have them there and you can share them with people, start conversations. One of the events 2 days before the Super Bowl is Night of Hope. That is an anti-trafficking event with 100 churches. We will be launching Not in My City, which will go to Vegas next year. So that's I think it's going to work with everything you're doing. The Super Bowl breakfast. And then on the day of the Super Bowl, we are going to see He Gets Us and two ads, not one. And Jesus will be in the Super Bowl. Brad, thank you so much for coming on today. And I know we'll talk again, and good luck with this movement, and hopefully we create more followers and get people connected to God.
Thank you, Kathleen. Appreciate it.
This has been Kathleen Wynn, Wynn Tucson on 10:30 a.m. The Voice. Trusted local news and talk, and a little help from God.